Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
At LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2017 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Here we go.
So Spellforce 3 is like a hybrid game with like combined genres of RPG and RTS to some unique combination, which was like the main thing about the predecessors, which we're going to continue with the third installment. And we're going to show you two maps, and the first map is like RPG only, so we can explain to you like the general RPG mechanics and how that part of the game works. And in the second map, we're going to show you some RTS gameplay and how that blends with the RPG part. What Georg started with is like, we see like the four characters you have in your party. Four is like the maximum amount of heroes you have in your party, but you're gonna meet a lot more characters than four. And in between missions, you have some sort of a player hub where all the characters gather, and you can rearrange your party in between these missions.
Like a
small fight going on. As you can see, we have this click and fight system to access your skills in the single player. It slows down the game a bit. So, and it's context sensitive. So when you hover over enemies, it will show like debuff and damaging spells. Whereas when you hover over like friendly characters, it will suggest you like healing spells and buffs and stuff like that. The gameplay is real time entirely, as you can see. Yeah, you can see a bit more of the different skills. Like after that fight, maybe Georg can open up the skill tree so I can tell you how the character creation works. Like, unlike in other RPGs, you don't, when you create your character, you don't pick a class, but rather select 3 skill trees out of 6 and can combine them entirely free to make some really unique character builds. And there's a lot of possible character builds. That
How many can you do that? It's so unique like that. Like how many can you do for each character? The combination ones are fun.
Yeah, I mean, you can pick 3 freely out of 6, so the combinations are quite a lot. And but you only create your main character. The companions that you're going to meet, your other party members, have pre-made skill trees, but you level them up on your own. But they have some unique skill trees, so every character you meet will feel different, so they are not that derivative and more of the same, but rather unique characters, and their skill trees reflect that. Also, you got what's not visible in this build is that you have a fourth skill tree. For your main hero, it's like a leadership skill tree, which has a lot of skills that affect your party. And as for the companions, they have like some sort of a sympathy bar. In Spellforce 3, you always have a lot of different decisions to make for each quests or dialogues, and your party members will react to that. Some will like your decision, some won't. And the more they like you, they will unlock new unique skills. Also, your party members will react with each other as well. So they are not just dull companions, but they also have unique characters and opinions.
So will that also affect the story or the game?
Yeah.
Is it by choices too, or just...
Yeah, you will have a lot of impact on the world. So it's a non-linear gameplay, so you always are left with a lot of different choices in how you solve different tasks, how you approach your quests. And you can actually even revisit the maps once you've played through it and see what sort of impact and impression you made on the people and the environment.
And side quests, of course.
Yeah, there's a lot of side content. Like the main quest line, if you just rush through the game just trying to finish it, you will spend around 30 hours. But if you really search for more stuff, there's so many side content going on that you can spend a lot of more time in the game. And there's a lot of characters and storylines and items and stuff like that you will never find when you're not actively looking for it. So it really, there's a lot of incentives to browse through the world and explore it.
Can you tell us a little bit about the main character?
The main character? Yeah, the thing is with the story, I don't want to spoil anything. So I'm really trying to be careful, since Spellforce is a really story-driven game, and we have some really good writers who really put a lot of effort in this entire world. We have really a lot of written dialogues. They're all fully voiced, by the way, on several languages. It's not just German and English. So some of our Eastern Europe fans will have like full voiceovers as well in their language. The problem is I'm not entirely sure which languages we're going to cover, but we'll release those information soon. Okay. We're currently working on the voiceovers. We just hired a lot of voice actors, and that's just going on right now. But I can say that, like, fans of Spellforce 1 who know the lore, they know that Spellforce 1 was set just like after a massive catastrophe has happened, which shattered the entire world and continents apart and stuff like that. And we're playing 500 years before Spellforce 1, so we're a prequel. And the game is set just after like a big rebellion has happened, where just it's been told in the intro cinematic, where the mages led a massive rebellion and shattered the land, and the leader of that mage rebellion was like your father. And currently there's a lot of bad feelings against mages, since they've done so much harm to the world. So your character is involved in a lot of conflicts because...
So this is only single player, right?
No. The entire campaign is available as co-op, so we can play everything that you're seeing now and the entire game in co-op. There's
two
no
players, two players only?
We're not sure about it right now. Technically, it's possible to play up to four players, but we need to check if it's actually fun if you play to four. But
that would be cool and a little challenging too, right? Everybody working together. So.
Yeah, that's really fun. But we're going to announce that soon if it... I think it works anyway. But the great thing is that you will get exactly the same experience than when you play it alone. So there's no compromise in terms of gameplay and story. You will get exactly the same big campaign in co-op.
Let's say two players, and one person is ahead of the other, how will that work?
The way the co-op work is you can have players jump into your campaign, so they will control some of the characters that you met. Like, for example, in that party you have like your main avatar and Isgrim the dwarf, for example, so somebody can join your campaign and play Isgrim, for example.
Would that also affect them once they leave the room, or not, like their stats or anything? Would that also go along?
No.
No? Okay.
If like
it's only for when they join, and that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, there's like an important part about Spellforce 3 is the multiplayer. So you don't just have the campaign, but also skirmish matches with up to six players. One interesting thing with the skirmish and the multiplayer is that you also can use the co-op features in the multiplayer. So if you play like a certain faction in the multiplayer, you can dedicate certain controls over your faction to other players as well. So you can, one of your friends can control the base building part of the match from your faction, while you control the heroes or something like that.
Was there any while working on this game, was there anything that you guys made some changes based on fan feedback from the previous titles?
Yeah, we're working closely together with the fans. We have Spellforce was released like the predecessor so long ago, but there's still a fan base, and it's small but intense, and they give a lot of feedback, and they are really productive, like, and they're really, it's a great community actually to work with, and since they're quite enthusiastic and they take the brand seriously just as we do, and we take the fan feedback really serious.
A lot of companies are starting to do that a lot more now, letting the fans give feedback and make the product even better. Why is it so important for you guys to get that from the community, from the fans?
Well, I mean, the fans are the reason why that brand is still alive, so that's something. I mean, we wouldn't be able to do that game if there wasn't this sort of fan base, and so it's really important for us that they can play a role, and also they're really supportive, and it's really flattering to work with them, since they take this lore and that world so serious, and it's really great to see how they, what impression they get from the game we're doing. And since we really just don't want to reboot that brand or make some more money out of it, but really deliver some more depth to the Spellforce world and do a new real Spellforce game, so that's important.
Do you see yourself, your team, maybe in the future for like consoles too, or are you kind of strict on?
Yeah, doing RTS games for consoles is always, it's really challenging, but we're thinking about it. But we really want to make sure not to deliver a bad port or something like that. So first of all, we need to check if it's possible to create a great console experience, but it's not our main focus right now, since first of all, we want to make the game feel great on a PC and put all our efforts in making the game great first, and then we look into options. So what Georg just started right now is opening a different map where you're gonna get control over some army, so you can see how the base building works and stuff like that. Since in Spellforce 3, like, this whole army and economic system and the base building just adds another layer of complexity to the game. The RPG gameplay stays exactly the same, and you can see how there's some sort of nice synergy going on. That's what made the predecessors special as well. Yeah, so there you can see like a small base that was already built for this presentation. And the way how the base building and the economy works is that the game is organized in sectors, like the maps are organized in sectors, which you have to claim with your heroes. And you need your heroes to claim them, so you can't claim the sectors otherwise. And then you don't control the workers directly, but you assign them to different buildings and tasks, which they will then follow automatically. And in each sector, you have some sort of sector center, which comes with a certain amount of workers, which you have to distribute to the other buildings in order for them to work, since no building works without assigned workers. So, for example, if you see the woodcutter over there, in order for them to make to chop wood, you need to assign workers who will then pick up axes and go search for some trees. Also, you need to assign workers to your sector centers, which will then work as henchmen and carry resources around between different buildings. Since one important part about Spellforce is that resources are local. They are always somewhere on the map. They are not like global resources. So it's really important that you manage to get your resources to the point where they are needed, which works with these market carriages, as you see them over there. They will carry the resources around between different sector centers. And one important part about this is that it also has some gameplay implications, since you can actually go to an enemy sector and kill their market carriages and steal the resources with which they are transporting, or kill workers which are carrying resources and stuff like that. So you can, on one hand, disrupt the enemy economy, but also get some personal advantages from them by getting more resources. Or as we will see now, when Georg is going to destroy an enemy sector, if there's any resources stored in that sector, you will get them once you took over that sector.
They rely only on machines and robots that don't consume their
power. Also, the heroes really affect like your armies. You have a lot of skills that affect your troops. You will be able to buff your troops or debuff enemy troops or do like damaging spells or stuff like that. And if you got trouble finding your heroes in like crowded sceneries, you have that hero highlighting system, which just has this nice overlay effect in player color, so it's always easy to find them and distinguish them from the environment. Yeah, so now he destroyed the sector center and he can have his heroes claim that sector. Also, we're trying to focus on large battles, so we will have several hundreds of units and which clash into each other and give like allow for large battles. Yeah, so that's about the RTS side of the game. What we're going to show you now is just some campaign maps to show you some sort of the scale of some of the maps, since it's really important for us to build huge cities and have provide a lot of content and places. It's quite a lot of information to digest in such a short presentation.
Yeah, but there is a definitely.
Okay. So what we're going to see next is Everlight, which is like a large trade city which the player can explore. There's a lot of characters in it and side content and quests you can receive and stuff like that. But what's important to show at that point is the scale of like the cities and stuff like that. So you have like a really big city with 1,000 citizens and a lot of unique characters. Yeah, we're really trying to make sure that the RPG feels like an RPG, and it's not like a big compromise because there's an RTS side to it as well. So in a lot of cases, you would just have like tiny RTS sort of buildings and some pseudo citizens, but we're rather trying to build like really massive castles and realistic proportions and towns with a lot of citizens. We have dynamic weather as well, as you can see from the clouds who are just passing through the screen. There will be like sudden thunderstorms and sandstorms in the desert and stuff like that as well. We're putting a lot of effort in the environment, so it's detailed and believable. Which was really important to us. Like, that's something where we had a chance with like modern technology to provide a more realistic, immersive world. And it's been in the predecessor since they had like the technical limitations of their time. Leaf shade. Now we're just going to take a quick look into some sort of a little elven town. A lot of places that you're going to see in Spellforce 3, fans will already know from the predecessor, so we really try to connect the parts and give the players a chance to see familiar places and how they've looked before that catastrophic event, which was called the Convocation. So they feel familiar and have like a nice nostalgic vibes to it. Which is cool. In some maps, when we released screenshots, we had fans like showing us screenshots of the same spot in the old games, and they were really happy about that we took that sort of stuff serious. And it's also a really great feeling to see that, like how they appreciate that sort of effort. As you can see, like the Elventown, their special architectural style. We're also putting a lot of effort into like a big diversity and different places you're gonna see, so they are not looking the same, and you will see like so many different environments. And there's three main races, by the way, in Spellforth 3, like humans, elves, and orcs, which the players already know from the predecessors. And during the campaign, you will be able to have them join your cause, but it's completely up to the player, like who he wants to unlock and who he wants to play with. So players can play the entire campaign just with humans if they want to, but they will miss out a bit of side content and storylines. There will be a lot of dungeons and stuff like that as well, so really a lot of places to explore. I think maybe you can show the world map again, since we sort of skipped that. Yeah, on that world map you can see the sort of scale the game has. The way, like how you choose, how the player chooses where he wants to go is completely up to him in most parts of the game. So there's a lot of places he can visit, but he doesn't need to. And he can pick in which order he wants to visit a lot of the places. Even though there is, of course, some main quest line he needs to follow in order to finish the game. So yeah. That's basically about it.
And for more information about the game, what are the games you can check out?
Yeah, we have a website and a Facebook page. Just search for Spellforth 3, like spellforth3.com, and is it spellforth.com? It should be easy to find with, yes, search for it. And we also have a beta running. You can claim keys through our website and just email us. And yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Awesome. This episode of Gamertag Radio is sponsored by Western Digital. With WD, you're now able to get solid state drives and hard drives to fit your unique needs. When you add the superior performance of a WD solid state drive to your PC, you get blazing read speeds so you can boost your system quickly or load games and other applications in a snap. Combined with a reliable WD hard drive, you get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your games library, direct feed video, podcasts, and more all in a single place. And for a limited time, Gamertag Radio listeners can get 20% off a WD solid state drive with coupon code WDGTR. That's WDGTR. Find out more at WDC.com/GTR.
And here's the thing, Danny, about this deal that we have right now with Western Digital and their blue SSD drives and their SSHD drives. I have an SSD drive,
yep,
which allows me, gaming wise, as a gamer, that's something you're going to want in your PC because it's going to allow you to get quicker load times. You're going to get, you know, access to everything you want in a snap. And then I also have an SSHD drive, which is a hybrid that has basically an SSD cache along with a standard hard drive. So I get load times quicker in that as well. Mm-hmm. And I have a 4 terabyte version, and I've been doing a lot of 4K game capture, and I've been doing video editing. I need that storage. So again, if you want a great deal on some solid state hard drives, go to WDC.com/GTR. Use our coupon code WDGTR.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.